You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach and author of The Bold Business Book. Today, we are welcoming / preparing to grill Susan Bulgren of Culver's as a franchisee and owner of the Echo Tap and Grill. Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Susan is highly tolerant of me, so I appreciate that. We'll figure out how this all works. So, Susan, can you tell us a little story about how you ended up running some Culver's, or owning some Culver's, I should say?
Sure. My background is not in business. It's actually in nursing. Mm-hmm. And I had the pleasure of working both in public health, both at the local level as well as the state level. And I also worked in a clinic as a nurse practitioner.
All right.
So my background is not of business. But when I started thinking about business, which was always in the back of my mind as something I wanted to do, I spoke a little bit with my father, who said, you know, look for somebody who is a company that you can trust, that you respect, and also a company that knows that will support you. And I grew up in the Baraboo area on a dairy farm.
Sure.
And when I started looking around, I looked at other franchises and I said, I've got this franchise right in my back door called Culver's Frozen Custard, which was at Sauk City, less than 20 miles away. And I went there, I ate there, I just experienced a little bit of the environment. And I said to my dad, you know, what about that? And he said, you know, they're a great family, really good family. So if you're interested, go and talk with them, which I did. I went and talked to Craig Culver, and he gave me the challenge of finding a location.
Sure.
Because I wanted to be in Madison, because that's where our daughters went to school.
Sure.
And he gave me the challenge of finding a location within a 90-day period, and I found that on the West Beltline Highway.
Nice.
So that was my story of getting into business.
Sure. So that means, so you were interested in starting your own business, but it wasn't necessarily a restaurant business.
You know, I thought about maybe doing something in healthcare.
Okay.
Because of, obviously that was my background.
Sure.
And I realized that because of such a tight market in the Madison area, and I wanted to stay here, I realized that probably that wasn't the best.
Okay.
So I look back and said, well, what else have I done, you know, other than the healthcare system?
Sure.
And I put myself through school, nursing school, by working in restaurants.
Awesome.
And I enjoyed it. And I said, okay, maybe this is another avenue in which I need to explore.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how I thought about restaurants.
Sure. So when you first, did you meet directly with Craig Culver? Did you meet with?
I met with Craig.
Okay.
Yes. I made an appointment and met with Craig.
Okay. And how did that conversation go? Were you just like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, or hey, I want Culver's, let's make this happen?
You know, I think as I think back to it, it was a very pleasant conversation where I went in and just said, you know, I'm exploring this option. I have done my research. I think that I've proven myself within the nursing world, and I want you to give me a chance. And he gave me the challenge of finding a location. And he said, if you do that, we'll put you in the class and see how that feels for you. And, and we did.
All right. And the class, is that how to run a Culver's?
Yes. It's from basic of, you know, what do you, what does your uniform look like?
All right.
To how do you shovel snow the Culver's way?
Wow.
And also, you know, just prepping in the morning, learning how to do all the kitchen work, all the front work, and then doing also the business aspect of it too, the behind the scenes.
Sure.
So it's not just how do you make a burger and put it out. It's, you know, how do you order? How do you do the inventory?
Uh-huh.
How do you do the projections and the accounting, et cetera?
Nice.
Yes.
So do you, from a bookkeeping standpoint, is that something that you have to take care of or that you outsource through Culver's?
Well, one of the things that I learned about very early on is it's really important to have a great lawyer, a great accountant that you can count on, and then other professionals around you that will give you support. So I do not do the accounting. Nice. I have an accountant do that.
Okay. Yes. And did Culver's assign that person, or that's someone that you had?
No, that's somebody I was familiar with.
Gotcha. Okay. So tell me, what are the biggest challenges that you deal with in regards to running Culver's?
You know, I think that it's changed somewhat. Initially, it was more trying to think about how do you get people through the door. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the guests that you want to bring in and make certain that they will return, which is always something that, you know, you have to be aware of. And
sure.
And it's a continuous concern or, you know, effort, I should say. Maybe not so much a concern, but an effort. But more and more, and I've talked with people across the gamut of business, it's just trying to find individuals who are willing to work with you and to stay with you. And so it's that entire staffing issue.
Employees.
Yes, for sure.
It's so huge.
It is huge. And I think because the unemployment rate is so small right now, that, you know, it's something that everyone needs to be aware of and try and think about, you know, what do we do to keep those people that we do have that are good people.
You know, it's interesting you say that because we've only done a handful of these shows, and every single one that we've interviewed, employees has been top of the list for a challenge.
Sure.
In regards to finding them, training them, having them show up, things like that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's interesting how that's such a huge, a huge thing, right?
Well, it is. I think it's the initial, just getting those people to be interested in your business. And then finally, once you do, to just let them know that you really do care about them, that as people you care about them and that you want to work with them. It's not for you, but with you.
Sure.
And to, you know, ongoing, continue to assess their needs. What are the needs? What will keep them there? And then, of course, giving them the opportunity to progress within the company, which is very important.
So do you have any secrets that you've discovered?
Secrets?
In regards to working with employees or getting them to realize that you're trying to work with them?
Well, I think that, first of all, knowing who they are.
Okay.
You know, and making certain that if there's a need, that you are doing everything you can to address that need.
Okay.
Lots of training. Obviously, giving them a livable salary or wage. And making certain that you have great benefits.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
So all of those things, I as a package, I think are important.
Sure. Does Culver's, the franchise, help you figure that out in regards to what to offer employees?
Not at all.
Not
because
at all.
We're, because we're all individually owned and operated, it's really up to us to determine what that is.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Yeah. All right. So that's both a burden and a blessing, I guess, I suppose, that they're not defining what you have to pay or what you have to offer.
Yes. I think that's actually a blessing.
Okay.
Because with each location, the needs differ.
Sure. Based on wages and availability and all that? Sure.
For sure.
All right. Do you operate mainly out of one location or do you bounce in between?
It depends upon the week.
Okay.
I usually am in Illinois at least once a week, sometimes two, three times, depending upon the need.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that bouncing around is probably a good way of saying that.
All right. So you must put some miles on.
I do. Yes, the car dealers love me because I have to make sure I have a reliable vehicle.
Sure. Do you have other managers that you work with?
Oh, I do. In fact, I have other co-owners. I have a partner, a business partner in the McFarland and Cottage Grove Road store, Paul Knibel.
Okay.
And then my daughter, I have a daughter who is working with me as a co-owner in the Skokie and Downers Grove store.
Oh, wow.
And she also is partner in the store at McFarland. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, so that's got to keep you busy as well, managing your managers, I imagine.
Well, actually, those are co-owners, so I don't manage them.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have wonderful managers. Yes, I do.
Gotcha.
You can't do it alone. I think the one thing that people need to realize is that you find wonderful people, actually people who have many more skills than yourself, and then work with them to try and let them be independent in managing your businesses.
So I can tell you that I've had two partnerships. One that did not go well at all, and one that's still going very well with Calls on Call. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, could you talk to me about how you decided to work with co-owners and mm-hmm. how it's been working with them?
Sure. Oh, it's been wonderful, actually. With Paul, Paul Kniebel, who I've had some type of business relationship since 2001, Paul actually came into the store and worked part-time just to see whether he would be interested in the actual experience or ownership.
Okay.
So when it came time to build that restaurant on Cottage Grove Road, mm-hmm. it was easy for me to call him and say, would you like to do some kind of partnership? Because we had worked together.
Sure.
You know, earlier, a couple of years prior.
Okay.
So that was easy. And it's been a great relationship, you know, trust and knowing what the other person thinks and expects. And
sure.
just that whole aspect of being able to trust, I think, okay. is most important. And then my daughter, who is the other business partner, mm-hmm. Actually is a mechanical engineer.
And oh, really?
Yes, she went to school for engineering.
Okay.
And when she finished, she actually has a PhD, when she finished with that, she said, you know, I think I'd really like to do business. So she went and did some consulting in Chicago for a year
okay.
and realized that wasn't what she wanted to do. So
okay.
she came to me and said, you know, if there's an opportunity, I would like to work with you, and the rest is history.
Wow.
That's when we started expanding in Illinois.
Nice. Okay.
Yes. So not a whole lot of concern about the trust.
No, I suppose not.
No.
Better not be, right?
No, not at all.
Thanksgiving would be rough.
Yes. Right.
How did you decide where to have your multiple locations? So the initial one was Todd Drive in Madison.
Yes.
So, but you ended up with four additional ones.
Yes. The Cottage Grove Road was mm-hmm. Actually a referral from Craig Culver, who said
nice.
that was available.
Okay.
And then when we understood that the McFarland store would be open as mm-hmm. a possibility for a purchase, mm-hmm. we decided because of the fact that it's so close to the other stores that
right.
it would be much easier to be able to do that. So we
gotcha.
Bought that. The Illinois, it's because my daughter lives there.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
And she wanted to be able to stay in the Chicago area. So we picked up the Downers Grove area mm-hmm. from another owner who wanted to sell.
Okay.
And then we built the store at Skokie.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The so one that's just a year old.
So does that mean that you've built two?
We have built three.
Three. Okay.
Three.
Nice.
Yes.
And has that been a challenge?
Actually not.
No? Okay.
No. I've had lots of support from the city of Madison for both when I did the Todd Drive store,
okay.
as well as Cottage Grove Road.
Okay.
And then the store in Skokie, as I look back, it was a supportive environment. So,
nice.
Yes, it was good.
Very good. Are there plans to add additional?
You know, I think part of that will be other opportunities for, I would say, if there are other franchisees who would like to work with us,
mm-hmm.
or should other opportunities to buy, if that should happen?
Sure.
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 Absolutely.
So is there, as an owner of a Culver's, what is a typical exit strategy? Just to sell at some point when you want to retire?
I'm never going to retire.
No, nice.
No.
I love that. Okay,
no,
that's
I'm perfect. Never going to retire because I love it.
Sure.
And, you know, once you establish yourself in a system mm-hmm. where you trust the people that work with you,
mm-hmm.
you never have to retire.
That's awesome.
And I've had so many of my friends who've retired, some who love it
mm-hmm.
and some who have said to me, don't ever do this because
sure.
if you really enjoy what you're doing, stick
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm the latter. I really enjoy what I'm doing, so I'm going to be here until I'm 100.
Nice. That's awesome. That's very cool.
How about you, James?
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's weird because you listen to people. My wife's a teacher.
Okay.
So she knows exactly what's going to happen, right? With her retirement or, well, mm-hmm. maybe she doesn't know exactly, but she has a rough idea, right? You work mm-hmm. for 30 years, 35 years, whatever, and then you're done essentially. Mm-hmm. And you do, whatever it is retired people do. I'm not really sure what that is.
Not sure.
Her mom recently retired from working at a school. And I can just see there's some, I was having a conversation with my mother-in-law, right?
Yes.
She read my book, the Bold Business book, right? And there was a portion in there in regards to decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to retire, I guess kind of early. it was, we'll call it on time, mm-hmm. but she was kind of kicking around. Do I retire now or do I just keep working? Because it's kind of one of those, what do I do once I retire? Same thing, right? You don't have any
right
goal. There's nothing right that really gets you out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. So she decided to retire, and I was like, oh, you must be feeling great about that. And she's like, no, I'm actually kind of scared. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind because I'm like, what do you mean scared to retire? Like, that's kind of what you've been fighting for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the end, if you don't have anything to get you out of bed in the morning, mm-hmm. like, what's the point kind right of thing? So
if we never retire, we never have to worry about
that. We never have that, right?
Yeah, we'll constantly, exactly.
Yeah, we'll constantly right have these business challenges, right, and it'll get us out of bed in the morning to actually sure solve them.
Sure.
Because it's, yeah, it's fun.
And it's not, you know, I look at it as an opportunity. When I think about business, I think about the gamut. Not only is it a challenge to think about what else can I do, mm-hmm. but what else can I do to help others?
Right.
And I think that's really important that it doesn't become about you, but it becomes about all those people that you work with.
Right.
And when you think about just the sheer number, when we usually have between 50 and 60 people mm-hmm. per location.
Oh, wow.
And you think about that and you realize that all of those people actually count on you.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you count on them to come
right
to work every day, they count on you to make sure that everything is stable and that there's a check waiting for them every 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
So yeah that they can take care of their families. So, yep, you know, and that I don't think I ever want to give that up.
No, that's fair. I can totally appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That there's mm-hmm. That means that you're in the neighborhood of 250 plus people that you have to, that rely on you.
Exactly.
And you, it's a good thing, right?
Yes.
You don't want to let that go and
it's a good thing.
Do everything you can to help them. That's awesome.
Right.
How long do people typically stay with you?
You know, we've actually had some people who've stayed with us since day one.
Since 1996.
One. Yes, yes.
Wow.
We have a couple of those people.
Okay.
We have others who've been there for 21 years. And then we also have the entire gamut of people who've just been there a month.
Sure.
So many of those individuals being young people.
Sure.
Age 14, 15 years old.
Sure.
Which is the age in which you can work at a restaurant.
Okay. I imagine there's some attrition in that age group because they're
oh sure
going off, graduating, going to college, whatever.
Yes. Going to college and then coming back for the vacations and for the summers.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know, you almost grow up with those individuals, which is wonderful.
Right? That's interesting. I have a little brother with big brothers, big sisters.
Okay.
And he, I've been with him a little over 5 years, I think. Mm-hmm. It was interesting when I first met him, he was kind of a shy kid, but he got a job at a type of restaurant doing ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working for tips.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden over the course of the past, let's call it year, couple of years, something like that, he's become more of a conversationalist because he can understand that there's a direct reward, and in this case, a financial one.
Sure.
For working with something like that. So it's interesting how just working mm-hmm. at a job like that where you're working with people mm-hmm. is can make mm-hmm. a change to a personality like that, mm-hmm. an improvement.
You know, I think about young people and just what we can do to help them. And you're absolutely right. We have people who come through the door for a job interview who can't even look at you. You know, uh-huh. they're there, they're looking at the floor, and
sure.
you're trying to engage them.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, well, I think this person, I know they have potential. It's not mm-hmm. even think. So you hire them, you make sure they have a uniform and their
sure.
non-slip shoes and everything else that's necessary. And you just give them a lot of attention.
Sure.
And you say, you talk to them, you know, and you try and draw them out. Mm-hmm. And within probably 6 months, you have a different individual standing
right.
before you. It's mm-hmm. just, it's such a metamorphosis, you know, it's just there.
Sure.
And it's so rewarding.
That's awesome.
And I've had people say, you know, thank you for giving me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you. So, and that in itself is just such a reward.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can tell. I worked at a movie theater for way longer than I should have,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting. Most of my time was stuck at the concession stand
okay.
or ticket counter and stuff like that. And just I can point at so many things that I learned just from working there and dealing with people in that regard that's mm-hmm. you almost think that should be a requirement, that people have to work a job mm-hmm. where they're working a service industry where they're face-to-face with people.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a McDonald's recently because they had the play thing,
sure.
right? And I saw that they have the touchscreen order
right.
thing.
The kiosk?
Yeah. Do you think that'll ever happen with Culver's?
You know, I'm not sure. I know that the home office is looking at various IT changes. Mm-hmm. Do I think that it'll happen? I think time will tell.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything at this point that's going to happen, sure. But one never knows. It just depends.
Let me ask you a deeper question.
Sure.
Why do you think that some restaurants have that? I was having this discussion with someone else, and I was like, do you think it's because they're having a hard time finding employees? Or is it because there's a lot of people that are afraid to talk to people?
You know, I think it's... I think there's an aspect where we have a generation now that is so comfortable with tools, you know, mm-hmm. their iPhone and other mechanisms that mm-hmm. the IT world has just really grown with them, and sure. they've grown up in that IT world.
Sure.
So they feel more comfortable mm-hmm. actually having that ability to place their own order.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some areas that are struggling to find employees as well.
Sure.
So I think it's maybe multifaceted.
Sure, fair.
And if you go into some of the newer restaurants, you'll see that people have the option of going to a kiosk or mm-hmm. going up to an individual. And it's fun to watch that because you see so many of the younger people going to the kiosk, where you see people my age actually still going up and doing that direct order.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't even know what I would do, because I look at, like, you go to a grocery store now, and any store, really, and sometimes you have the option to do the self-checkout.
Sure.
And I just feel like sometimes that's faster.
Yes.
But I also think that maybe a lot of the people that I've dealt with from a checkout point of view didn't seem that excited, so there wasn't any really positive interaction there.
That could be part of it, too.
So it's a weird...
Like, the experience you have.
What kind of problem are we trying to solve, and what's going to be the result of solving it that
mm-hmm.
way?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's up to us, then, to help the young people or whoever it is coming through the door
mm-hmm.
that want to work with you. It's important to teach them those skills
mm-hmm.
so that not only do they have it in the workplace, but they have it outside.
Sure.
With the interactions that they'll have in daily life.
Huge. Sure. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yes.
So you've been in business 22 years, is that right?
22 years.
22, that's yes. awesome.
Yes.
And you also have a bar?
I do.
Okay.
It's a restaurant
okay.
bar called the Echo Tap and Grill on okay. the corner of Main and Bedford.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you were to compare your Culver's franchise with the Echo Tap, how do they compare in regards to employees and management and all that? Because Echo is your own thing, right?
Yes, my daughter and I own that together.
Okay.
It's very different because with a franchise, things are very prescribed, as mm-hmm. I had said before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the menu, just the operations, everything that's involved is totally prescribed to you.
Sure.
I guess is the best way of saying it. And that's my medical background, as I say, prescribed.
Sure. Right, right.
With the Echo Tap, which Katie and I have owned now for 6 years.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's much different because you have the ability to be creative with the menu,
mm-hmm.
With, you know, the layout, whatever, you know, just the overall environment in which you have some of the entertainment that you bring in, etc.
Sure.
So it's much more free to do that, which sometimes is okay. Sometimes it's, you know, it's much more of a challenge.
Sure.
Where with Culver's, you know what it is.
Sure.
And you have that support.
Okay.
At a home office, it's always there. When you're at the Echo Tap, you are it.
All right.
You make the decisions, and mm-hmm. that's where you go. And
all right.
If you need some help, you better look at one another and decide
sure.
what to do.
Nice. So did you buy the Echo Tap, or did you create
yes.
that on your own?
No. The Echo Tap is 76 years old.
Is it really?
It is, yes.
Wow.
And it was actually purchased by the Ryan family.
Okay.
And just a year ago, Katie and I bought the business from Pat Ryan.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, we did not. We won't take credit for doing that 75 years worth of work.
Sure.
Yes.
So what made you decide to jump into that?
You know, it was an opportunity to purchase a business with some property. And initially, there was some discussion between Katie and myself as to maybe whether we would put a Culver's in that location.
Okay.
But we realized that the EchoTap was the EchoTap.
Sure.
So as much as I would like to do a Culver's on the near the campus, that was not the location. So we continued to actually just build it and manage it as the EchoTap.
Sure.
Yes.
Interesting.
But we would love to do a Culver's near campus.
Okay.
That's a goal.
75 years is a long time.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's kind of its own history. And, you know, when you say the EchoTap and Grill, people know it.
Sure.
And they'll talk about 25 years ago when they were in school, how they used to go to the EchoTap. So it would be a shame to actually erase that.
Sure. It's interesting you mentioned that, because I do, every once in a while, I've done some internet sales nationally, and people always know Madison.
Yes.
It's so bizarre how you can be talking to New York or California, Florida, anything like that, and people always know Madison either from going to school here or for partying here at one time or another downtown. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. That's so funny.
Yes.
Do you have similar issues in regards to finding employees and training them and such?
You know, I have a real solid group of managers there, and which these managers have been with me and with Katie, both Katie and myself, for the last 6 years.
Okay.
So the management are stable, and we have others that have joined the staffing. We have a lot of students who come in and work maybe a year or two before they graduate, and then we bring in new students to help with this. So it's a great location for the students, as well as fiscally is positive for them. So we work with those individuals before they move on.
Gotcha.
And some stay with us until they find their own professional job.
Sure.
Yes.
Nice. Do you have any challenges dealing, like being a bar downtown? I imagine there's some challenges that you have to deal with.
You know, I think we have the benefit of being somewhat isolated.
Okay.
We're not on State Street.
All right.
We're not up on the square. We have our own location, and because of that, I think we're seen as possibly not the party bar, but more of the neighborhood restaurant bar.
Nice.
And we've worked really hard to make it a restaurant with a bar. And when we first bought in 6 years ago, we had about 17 to 19% food versus the alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Right now, we're at 50-50. So we've really worked hard on
that's a big move.
It's a huge move in 6 years.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what we wanted to do. So we'll continue to develop that restaurant aspect.
Okay. And tell me the reason why you moved more towards food versus alcohol.
Because that's what we knew.
Okay.
Yes. And we felt like there was a void in the area, specifically in that neighborhood.
Sure.
And as we watched more and more of the development of that main Bedford area with lots of new condos, new apartments, we realized that there was a need, a greater need for having good food in a restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So do you have any regrets in regards to that?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not that's at awesome. All. No. Okay. And you know, that's the good question, because when you make a decision to do something, you better have thought it out and not look back and think, okay, well, what should I have done differently?
Sure.
You just make that decision and you move forward. And I say that with anyone who has a business or is thinking about entering into a business, is really think about it carefully. And if you make the decision to jump in there, then you better jump in with both feet and just be willing to swim.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it sounds like I talk about decision making with small businesses all the time. So do you have a trick or secret that you use in regards to making decisions when an opportunity comes up, for example?
Well, I think that's where my nursing process comes in. And part of the process is you assess the situation. You think about it 100 times.
All right.
And not 101, but you come to some kind of conclusion. You think about how are you going to operationalize that? Is that even doable?
Sure.
Then you actually do it and see how it is, and then you reevaluate.
Okay.
And if it's not working at that time, then you go back and start reassessing.
Sure.
So it's just an ongoing process of what are you doing? How are you doing it? Should you be doing it? And then making changes. And again, that's something I learned when I was in nursing.
Sure. Do you ever put a time limit on decision making?
I think it's ongoing.
Okay.
Always.
All right.
You always do it.
Sure. Okay. Yes. If someone were to come to you with an opportunity, would there be, what do you expect, how long do you expect that it would take to make it a fairly big decision, purchasing a restaurant or buying into another one?
Well, it depends upon the location.
Mm-hmm.
It depends, obviously, on the production as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the potential increases in whatever that business might be?
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually a business that you want to do?
Sure.
And which is huge. You know, mm-hmm. would I want to probably be working in a business that I knew nothing about? I guess it would just be, you know, would I be interested in learning about
sure,
that?
Sure.
And if it's not something that I'm interested in, I'd have to say pass. And, you know, I think too, it's really important that you ask yourself, is this going to benefit the community?
Mm.
You know, it's not all about me. It's
sure.
also, is this positive for the community?
Sure.
And then I would make a decision.
Interesting.
Yes.
I like that, helping the thinking beyond just yourself.
For sure.
That gives you more of a reason for doing what you're doing.
Right.
It kind of gets tired if you're working for yourself alone.
Always.
Sure.
Yes.
Interesting. So what do you see happening in the next 5-10 years with your businesses?
You know, that's hard to say. Part of that will depend upon the economy.
Sure. What do you hope happens? I'll say.
Okay. I'm going to think a little bit about what's going on in Washington and mm-hmm. how that might impact us.
Sure.
Because there's so much uncertainty, I think, is probably...
I hear that word a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very common.
Uncertainty and just not knowing what's going to happen, that I would say it's hard for me to predict what's
fair.
Going to happen
okay.
for this. Would that mean that any of the businesses that we have right now would be gone? No, I don't
sure.
think so.
Right.
As far as expansion, I'm not sure.
All right.
Yes. We'll have to wait and see.
I see. People will always need to eat.
Hopefully.
And,
and you can't buy it on Amazon unless you bring in the boxes where you prepare it yourself and do whatever. But at this point, we're really happy that, you know, you can't buy a Butterburger over the internet.
That's awesome. Very true.
Yes.
Very true. Yeah. I talked with some friends that have retail stores, and it's just an interesting dynamic, mm-hmm. whether it's Amazon or just any online store mm-hmm. that you have to compete with.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I had my printer repair company, when you're competing with online stuff, mm-hmm. it was bizarre. It was a challenge that I guess I don't know if a lot of people saw coming.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people even know how to react still.
Right.
I mean, see, Sears closing.
Yes.
Macy's having a rough time.
Yes.
And I look across the street from our office. We have a Shopko there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw on, I'm trying to think what day that was. They're in a strip mall, and the majority of the parking lot is full, except for Shopko, just has a handful of cars in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice store.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, what is going on here?
Yeah.
That, like, does people buy literally everything online, or?
You know, I think that's a real important question, and also a question we need to ask ourselves when it comes time to make a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we leave our home, go into a location and actually purchase, knowing that that location is there depending upon us?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it easier just to click the button on the computer and have that delivered to your home?
Mm-hmm.
And I myself want to go to that location because
sure.
I know that that location typically is one that supports others. It's not just a one-person shop. It's
mm-hmm.
also a shop that is employing other people in the community.
Right.
And I think we need to think about that more
mm-hmm.
and realize that the convenience is not as important as it is supporting the community.
Sure, sure. It doesn't always come down to price. That extra
right.
few pennies that you're paying for a local store can
right.
actually pay off as a community in the long run.
Right, because those few extra pennies may be paying that hourly or that salary of the individual that's working there
mm-hmm.
and the rent and,
mm-hmm.
you know, taxes and other things that
right.
for the community.
Yep. Roads and schools aren't free, right?
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to moving towards your past because you came from nursing. And it's interesting to me that you decided to start a business 22 years ago. You ended up with a restaurant, of all
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk me through the decision-making process you went through from leaving nursing, which had to be a big deal, mm-hmm. into starting your own business?
Well, I think the decision-making, I realized that nursing was a wonderful profession. I very much enjoyed doing it. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that there was a part of me that wanted to make the decisions of, you know, the daily decisions of what's going to happen to me.
Sure.
And not only to me, but to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, within the nursing profession, there was a lot of oversight and decision-making that was made for you, whether uh-huh. it was in the systems or within government or whatever that might have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, if I'm ever going to be that independent business owner, mm-hmm. I need to think about doing that now.
Sure.
So it was hard. It was very hard because I enjoyed my position at the state health department because at that time I was working in government.
Oh, wow.
But I also knew that it was just kind of this little ache behind me saying, you know, if you want to do it, you better not wait forever.
Sure.
And that's when I started going out and looking for possibilities.
Was there any trigger or any moment that you can think of that was just a switch?
No, not.
Okay.
Because it was just always in the back of my mind that I wanted to do it.
All right. What was the first move that you made towards starting a business?
It was looking around, thinking about what did I know,
mm-hmm.
what did I enjoy doing,
mm-hmm.
and then from there saying where are the possibilities, looking around and just recognizing that there were possibilities right at my back door.
Sure.
So, and that was Culver's.
All right. Was there anything that you considered outside of Culver's or outside of restaurants at all?
Well, there were other, first of all, healthcare, as I had said before, but then as I looked at all of the aspects of healthcare and the fact mm-hmm. that I wanted to stay in Dane County
mm-hmm.
and I knew the HMOs were so much a part of that, I realized that wasn't probably feasible. It would take me a long time in order to do that.
Right.
I looked at other restaurant franchises.
I
did. And I realized that those were not the franchises I wanted to do because many of them actually owned the real estate and I wanted, and then they would lease back the property to you in your business.
Sure.
And I wanted to own the real estate.
Uh-huh.
I came from a farm background where my father said, you didn't rent, you owned.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when everything else was over and done, you had that property.
Yeah.
You still owned that. So that was the reason why I also looked at Culver's.
Gotcha.
Because I was able to own the real estate.
That's a huge one.
It's huge.
All right. It
is huge. And it continues to this day.
Nice.
They have you own the real estate with the business.
Well, it's fantastic. I was told, I guess even from watching that the McDonald's movie there where they essentially, the guy said, there's not a cheeseburger business, it's a real estate business, mm-hmm. where it all came down to that.
That's right.
Very interesting.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a clever business model, I guess, on both ends, but it's nice that you get the opportunity to own it mm-hmm. on your end instead mm-hmm. of having corporate own it.
And I knew I didn't want to be independent at mm-hmm. that point. Because I didn't know how to do the restaurant.
Sure.
I didn't know the entire business model. And I knew that I had to have support and, mm-hmm. and good, solid support.
Sure.
Which is what Culver's offered.
Right. Yes. Do you have any other franchisees that you work with or talk with routinely?
Oh, always.
Okay.
There are people in the system that, you know, you very often will pick up the telephone and say, this is what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about that? Or have you tried this before?
Sure.
Did it work? And mm-hmm. if not, what would you suggest? And when we have a new group of franchisees that come through the system, oftentimes they'll stop at restaurants that are already existing
uh-huh.
and ask questions. You know, tell me what you think about this.
Sure.
You know, where would you go with it? So it's very much a community of franchisees that help one another.
That's very nice.
It's good.
So you said there's over 400 franchisees, is that right? Or 400 stores?
No, over 600 stores.
Over 600 stores. Yes. I'm sorry. That's mm-hmm. quite a few.
Over six.
How many franchisees are there?
You know, I don't know exactly
how
many there are because there are some owners like myself that have multiple locations.
Yeah, I wondered how many.
So I'm not sure how to answer that.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't have an exact number.
That's fair. I am guessing that most of the listeners are aware of Culver's and your frozen custard. So I'm curious, and I'm probably assuming that they are too, how do you guys decide on the flavor of the day?
It is decided by the manager.
It is? Okay. Yes. The manager of that store?
The manager of that store. Okay. Who decides what the flavors will be. And we create a menu a month in advance.
A month
in advance. So okay. You can take a look and see what February will be. Okay. Most of the locations should have that out there.
Sure.
So it's the managers who decide that.
Gotcha. And do you work with any other Culvers around to make sure that you're not duplicating?
No.
Or it's just roll the dice?
It's random.
Okay.
Just random.
Nice. Uh-huh. That's always been something that I'm curious about. Like, do you guys pick based on the type of day or moon phase or whatever?
No. Okay. Just whatever that manager decides is important. Now, if there are special events or if we have a guest who comes in and says it's my birthday on January 5th and I really enjoy turtle, would you put that on the menu?
Sure.
Of course, we'll do that.
Well, that's incredible.
And that does happen.
Sure.
Sure. So whatever your birthday is, just let us know.
My birthday is actually coming up very soon. Okay. So, yeah, I don't even know what my favorite would be. If you have something that includes everything, we'd probably hit that.
If you like chocolate volcano would be one of those.
Chocolate, I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Very big fan.
There you are.
That's awesome. So I want to know a little bit more about when you started, right, 1996, things were a little bit different than they are now.
Right.
Both in population, just the layout of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything with the Culver's franchise changed? Or that's probably a silly question. What has changed, I guess, in regards to the Culver's franchise now?
Well, I think just the physical location of the franchise office went from being a little tiny office in the upstairs of a carpet store to having its own freestanding large office in Prairie du Sac.
Okay.
You know, beautiful building. In fact, I was just there this morning attending a class.
Okay.
The actual franchise staffing has just grown immensely, where now it's just not one person in one of the areas. You may have 6 to 12 people covering whether it's the marketing program, the accounting, the development, you know, the actual development of franchise territories or whatever that might be.
Sure.
So just the growth in the number of staffing.
Oh, wow.
The other thing that we have is a lot more classes. You know, when I went through the program, it was a 16-week program, and I went through with one other person.
So there really? Okay.
There were just two in the class.
Sure.
And I just left I left the class where there are now, I believe, about 22 people going through a class, whether it's a new franchisee or a mentor program.
Okay.
So it's just exploded as far as just the number of people who are going through the classes. And the classes now we have online, so you have that option, or you have classes that you can take at the home office in Prairie du Sac.
Nice.
So that in itself is different. Obviously, a lot more restaurants.
Sure.
Within the franchise area, it's, you know, when you just see the explosion of restaurants in the community, and that's not just here in Madison, but around. You have more competition, which also makes you think about what are you doing.
Sure.
And it makes you just realize that you have to do that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you've ever not wanted to do the best, but you just have to up your game.
Sure.
So I think that that's different. Many of the same people that were franchisees when I entered the system are still there.
Oh, nice.
You know, there aren't a lot of people who have sold.
Sure.
And you know, that's good, too, because you establish that base of people who have a history.
Sure. That
speaks volumes. Who understand. Yes.
That there's a loyalty there, that they must be making enough money at least to sustain and be happy and enjoy what they're doing.
Right.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Yes. Nice. So I think that's a benefit. And just being there to try and help the new franchisees that are coming into the system, whether it's Utah or Georgia or the Carolinas, or wherever that might be.
Oh, wow.
You know, we are there, and they often call upon us and say, what would you do, or, you know, what do you think about this location?
Sure.
Not that we have the end-all, be-all, because that's really the corporate office who needs to tell them that. But at least you can give them your impression about what works for you.
Sure. But you have boots on the ground, so you're a good person to talk to.
Yes.
Sometimes I guess I like to talk to people that are actually doing the job. I know with my receptionist, sometimes I get questions from people asking about the service that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know broad, what we do and what we can offer and stuff like that. But sometimes you have to talk to the people that actually are doing the job to say, can we do this
sure.
before you make any promises? And
sure.
And they know things just above mm-hmm. and beyond that I know. Mm-hmm. So it's very, it's incredible that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any regrets in regards to the past 22 years or some challenging decisions that you made that you're like, well, maybe that wasn't the most ideal, but it ended up working out?
You know, I don't think so. You don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
You always look forward.
Sure.
And to think about what else can you do. So regrets, no. No, I
can you think of a time when something at the time seemed bad, but over the course of time it evolved into something that was actually a positive thing?
I think when we had one of the fittings of our soda machine broke and we entered the restaurant and the entire front of the house was underwater. It flooded.
Oh, no. Okay.
And this was in 2003, shortly after we had just remodeled.
Oh, no.
And it ended up that we had to just gut everything. That was just a time when you thought, whoa, what just happened here?
Sure.
But with that, you know, we were able to make a few changes and put it back together again and went forward.
Sure.
And during that time, it was obvious to me that I couldn't make all the decisions. I needed some creative people around me.
Uh-huh.
So I spoke to my managers and I said, you know, what are we going to do while the entire front of our restaurant, the mm-hmm. whole seating area
sure.
is down because it's under construction.
Right.
What are we going to do? And a couple people said, well, let's put a tent outside and let's serve from the tent and let's make it fun.
Sure.
And we did. We did that all summer long. And
oh, wow.
It was really, really fun. And we didn't lose one staff person. And our just the number of people coming through the door every day remains constant.
Sure.
And we said, this worked.
Huh.
You know, it worked for everyone's betterment.
Nice.
So you look at that and say, okay, it happens. Mm-hmm. What can we do to make it better?
Sure.
And that was one of the situations.
Well, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know that I've been a part of some of the fundraisers that you do.
Yes.
Through Culver's.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I would say that within a week, we probably have a request for 10 to 12.
Do you really?
Opportunities for fundraising.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And when the economy after 2008
mm-hmm.
became very difficult, we even had more every
wow.
week.
Okay.
So what people are asking about is everything from, you know, helping support a school program to mm-hmm. an athletic event to sending somebody to school.
Oh, really?
Yes. For food pantries, for community health centers,
okay.
you know, just lots of different requests, you
sure.
know, helping with canines for the police department and others. I'm just going through some of those that just came in last week that I'm thinking
oh, wow.
about.
Okay.
And from that, you establish a budget.
Okay.
And you have to say, okay, what are the priorities within mm-hmm. that budget?
Sure.
And then what can you actually fund? Because you have to have a specific amount of money in that budget.
Sure.
So you have to carefully pick and choose. But what we really try and do is if we have any requests from a school
mm-hmm.
or from a church
okay.
or a community center, we
sure.
try and help those first.
Gotcha.
And then we expand from there.
Okay.
Now, every owner, every franchisee has the option of
sure.
looking at that and saying, what do we need to do?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what we try and do ourselves within our group of franchisees that I co-own with.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always interesting. I guess I've been or am on both ends, either asking for money and mm-hmm. working with people to help gain money. And it's
sure.
interesting. Sometimes it's not the easiest conversation to have on either end.
Right.
Because you can't
right.
you can't give everything away because you
right.
still have to survive and keep the lights on.
Right.
But on the flip side, you know, it's the economy has changed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Good and bad. I mean, it's getting better now, but mm-hmm. still, there's a lot of cuts that were made that they haven't been replenished or brought back, right?
Exactly.
They said they were temporary, but...
And I think that if we look at the situation presently, we have to think and plan for the future because we're uncertain as to what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
with the government.
Sure.
So, again, it's forecasting and trying to make your best judgment about what do we have to have, and do we need to increase this budget, and
sure.
where would we put that money if we did?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's doing that.
Sure. No, that's fair. Completely fair. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. What would you give for advice to someone that was considering leaving their job, whatever it is that they're doing now, and starting a business of any kind?
Never think of it as the opportunity to fail. First of all, you have to be totally committed to whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be totally interested in it and realize that you did all your homework before you made that jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then plan on just working the hardest you've ever worked in your life.
Sure.
And, you know, growing up on a dairy farm,
mm-hmm.
where we, every single day of the year, you had to get up, you had to do your chores.
Sure.
You had to milk those cows, you had to go, you know, feed those animals.
Sure.
And there wasn't a day where you said, okay, I don't have to do this because this is my weekend.
Sure.
No, you knew it every single day. So going into the restaurant, and people said to me, well, do you get your weekends off? Do you, you know, whatever? And we said at the time, there are 3 days off that we can close the doors. That was Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and for some, it was New Year's Day.
Okay.
It was very different for me because we actually had those days where you got to close the door.
Oh.
And so people said to me, how is that different? Well, it was different from when I was doing nursing because, okay. you know, we actually had some days off. But I went back to my, my childhood, and I realized, oh, there are other people who do this.
Sure.
And you don't look at it as a curse. You look at it as an opportunity once sure. again. So, was it different? Sure.
Sure.
But you've got to be committed. Mm-hmm. You've got to know what you're getting yourself into, and you will work the hardest that you ever have because right. it's yours.
Sure.
You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing is you have to have confidence in yourself to know that when you make a decision, it's a decision that you own,
mm-hmm.
that there's nobody that you can look to the right or the left and say, you know, was that correct?
Sure.
You always have to be able to just say to yourself, okay, that's what I did.
And I love that. Yes. Own the decision. That's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then go with it.
Nice. I'm teaching a business planning class, and I'm having the people, they do what I call an elevator conversation instead of an elevator pitch, mm-hmm. on the presumption that most people won't listen to you for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them clap, confidence, 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 because I see that's such a challenge for a lot of people. And these are people that are starting their own business. They're very smart about what they're doing, whether it's a daycare or a clothing store or a restaurant, whatever mm-hmm. it is. But they seem to have this kind of timidness with them. And I'm like, you got to build up that ego a little bit if mm-hmm. you're going to start your own business. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting mm-hmm. that you say that. Mm-hmm. That's powerful
mm-hmm.
to stand by that, stand mm-hmm. by the decision there.
Plan to succeed, don't plan to fail.
Perfect.
That's the other thing.
I love it.
Yes.
Have you been able to mentor anybody in regards to people outside of the Culver's franchises?
Mentor anyone outside of Culver's?
Mm-hmm. Someone that's come to you and said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business. Would you mind just meeting for coffee and just can I poke your brain a little bit?
Yeah, a couple people have had that conversation with me.
Okay.
Sure. And, what I just said a few moments ago is exactly what I said to them.
Mm-hmm.
Did I follow them from the beginning of their business until
sure.
they actually opened the doors? No.
Sure.
It was more just, you know, how did I look at business
mm-hmm.
as I went into the whole business world and mm-hmm. what did that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, and talked a little bit about some of the challenges.
So. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to some more fun stuff. Do you have a favorite flavor for custard?
My favorite flavor is vanilla.
Is it really?
It is, because I just enjoy vanilla, just the plain and wonderful taste of vanilla. But
so you get flavor of the day every single day.
I could if I ate it every day, I could, which I don't.
No, I suppose it'd be 5,000 pounds if
yeah,
you did, right?
That's right.
There's a time and a place, I guess.
Yes,
that's fair.
Yes, and it's a treat.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Do you, I guess, want to ask in regards to the food, there's health challenges that people have in regards to fast food and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I know Culver's has salads and things of that nature. So is that something that you guys are changing your menu, or has that been a challenge or a request?
Oh, I think that we're always trying to have options for individuals. So for those people who are vegetarian, we have a vegetarian burger.
Oh.
For those people who are gluten intolerant or allergic to gluten, we have the gluten-free bun. And we are very careful then on how we prepare that food for them. It's very different than what we would do for just you or myself if we were to order across the counter.
Sure.
We have the salads. We have grilled chicken. We have the soups. We have vegetarian soups as well.
Sure.
So there are options for everyone.
Nice.
And in the summer, for those people who are lactose intolerant, we have lemon ice. So.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yes. So I think that we really try and look at that.
All right.
We being franchisees, as we talk to people in the home office as to what people are asking for.
Very nice. So how about at the Echo, what do you have for favorite food that you offer there?
I actually have a spinach salad that I enjoy.
Nice.
Spinach and goat cheese salad.
Okay.
Yes.
Was this your creation?
It was.
Was it really?
It was actually my daughter's creation.
Oh, nice.
Spinach and goat cheese salad.
And you can go to Echo and get that. And it's the
any day.
It's the Susan special.
Any day. We also have homemade pizza there.
You really?
We make the crust and we added an entire pizza oven, a double oven there, and I brought in an individual who had worked in pizza parlors in upstate New York, and helped us establish the whole pizza business, and so that's another favorite for many people.
That's awesome.
Are our homemade pizzas.
And that has to be fairly recently then, right?
Within the last 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Well, cool.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Susan, for being here.
Well, thank you, James. It was really my pleasure.
Nice. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to work some buttons here.
Okay.
So bear with me, and I apologize again for messing up in the beginning.
That's okay.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We'll figure this out, right?
Okay.
We will figure this out. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios Radio, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. We'd like to thank you and our guest, Susan Balgren. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well at the sunprairiemediacenter.com. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Stay awesome and enjoy the process.